Bow. Get your free professional estimate today at 865-977-9300.
Life is complicated enough, but TV should never be. TV should be easy. At Ledbetter Electronics, your local Dish authorized dealer, our goal is to make it easy on you. TV that's easy on your budget and your lifestyle. Cut the complicated cable and ease into Dish with no surprises. We'll explain it all up front, find the right package for you, and install your state-of-the-art system with professional, thoughtful service. Call us now, 982-1531 at Ledbetter Electronics. Ask about special discounts that may be available. That's so Ledbetter Electronics at 982-1531. Let's make your TV choice easy with Dish. Restrictions apply. Call for detail.
As the labor force has continued to grow in East Tennessee over the last two decades, Blount County has gained the largest number of young adults in that span. The presence of these workers is a tribute to the region's vibrant economy, particularly in the areas of technology and innovation. The Blount Partnership has created working relationships between the public schools and industries to develop education initiatives that prepare our school-age children with the skills needed for them to succeed. For more information, log on to www.bluntpartnership.com.
Behold, he comes riding on the clouds. Welcome to another Cox radio show. Well, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. It's a different day in the neighborhood these days. And we have my wife Facebooks. I don't do that. And she turned me on to this pastor, Greg Locke, of Global Vision Bible Church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. And I've seen some of his little short videos he puts up on Facebook. And number one, I have to applaud him for speaking the truth in the face of the liberal bias that goes on. But doggone if he's not right. And so I thought it'd be nice if we could get him for a few minutes and just kind of tell us what's been going on lately in his life and on Facebook. Since I'm not there, you may be there, and he can tell us where to find him. Pastor Greg, are you with us?
I'm here, my friend.
All right. Well, it's good to talk to you. Thank you for coming in and giving us some time tonight.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Again, I my wife caught wind of you on Facebook and has been following you, and she told me, she says, you ought to have this guy as a guest. He makes a lot of sense. I said, well, we don't see that much. I've been one to kind of criticize the clergy a little bit over the most part, but God's opened my eyes to a lot of work that people are doing and that we just don't really know about. So I've kind of softened my stance. And when I see folks like you out there, you know, just putting it out there for the world to see, I'm sure you don't get any criticism or death threats, do you?
Right? Oh, boy, we could swim in the threats and the criticism that we get at our church often.
I lost him, Harry.
Oh, you there, my friend?
Okay, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah, it went out there for a minute. I can hear you fine, though.
Okay, gotcha. Continue. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, I was saying we could swim, we could wade in the death threats and the criticism that we get at our church office. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you know, for loving, tolerant people, it's surprising how angry they can get.
Yeah, toleration works one way with that crowd. There's no doubt.
Evidently. Well, what have you been, what's caught your eye lately, Greg?
Well, you know, coming, of course, out of the firestorm of the whole election process, you know, I did quite a few videos about that. And, you know, people are just shocked, I guess, really when anybody gets that bold. But when somebody, as you say, of the clergy, you know, somebody that's a pastor, you know, we get letters all the time saying, hey, we're going to have your 501c3 revoked and this, that, and the other. And so, you know, people are just shocked whenever somebody will say something. I think Americans have been so cotton candied by watered down preachers that when they do hear somebody that says something a little bit bold and demonstrative, it sounds so offensive to them because they're not used to it. I think the church has been, you know, lulled to sleep. You know, you're talking about, you know, being a little bit critical of preachers, and in many ways I don't blame you, because it's men of our ilk at times that have been so soft, and they're just afraid to stand up and stand out and speak out against the issues that when somebody does, either number one, lots of people really, really like it, we're finding, but there's lots of people that really, really dislike it as well. So, you know, I try not to do all my videos in a controversial manner, but some of them are just, they're just right out controversial. You know, I just kind of talk about what's happening in the news from a common sense, biblical standpoint.
And, how dare you? Know, you. Yeah, how dare you?
How dare I do my job?
I'm sorry.
No, you're exactly right. You'd be surprised how many of those I actually get. How dare you? How dare you? So we have some interesting characters that show up at church, at my church here, and also churches where I go and speak. And, you know, like I said, we get a lot of anonymous letters of foolishness and nonsense and death threats and bomb threats. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. It's an amazing platform, and so I thank the Lord for it. And to have that many people that do follow, even when the people that, you know, hate me or hate God or hate what I stand for, every time they click, every time they cuss, every time they share a video, you know, in a negative manner, it's just putting me in more and more and more news feeds. And so our page is growing exponentially quicker than we can keep up with it.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, because they complain and make more people aware of it, and they go and they say, hey, yeah. that's actually how basically the conservative movement and the non-left-leaning, I won't say right-wing, but the non-left-leaning people in this world happen to come across good news.
Right.
And that is because other people are complaining and fussing about it, and it gets them to go see what the big deal is. And I know, I guess you have, hopefully, a very good security team.
We do. You know, we never thought we'd have to see the day when we'd have to have a good safety team, but we do. And, you know, we don't make it, like, super obvious, but we want people to feel safe. And they obviously want me to feel safe. And so here at the church, you know, obviously I got people that I know that we've trained, that I trust. When I go out other places, unless one of my guys is with me, somebody always travels with me for accountability, but not always somebody on our security team. So I kind of got to you know, whatever the church has where I'm going, I got to trust. Yeah, there's some crazy things that we're up there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We unfortunately are having to cover that in our churches today because things like, I don't know, this Somali with a knife raging up in Ohio.
Right.
You know, of course.
What do you mean? I heard that they didn't think it was of any terrorism note. And what are you saying, Tim?
Well, no, I wouldn't think that just because it was a Somali Muslim carrying out an attack just like ISIS had wanted people to do. I don't see any connection there. Do you, Greg?
I've seen a lot of connections with radical Islam, and I've made a few videos on that. People don't really like my stance on it too much, but there's nothing peaceful about Islam. There's no doubt about that.
I'm surrounded by profilers. Hey, Greg, this is Chris. And I found you pretty quick on Facebook, and people can look up Pastor Greg, G-R-E-G-L-O-C-K. I don't know, you're too good looking to be a pastor. Is that you?
That's me. Yeah, it's L-O-C-K-E, but yeah, that's me.
Yeah, L-O-C-K-E, Locke with an E on the end. And man, you've got a lot of likes. There are people that like you. Half my friends like you. It says something about my friends, I guess.
We meet these videos everywhere we go. There's very few places we could go, even gas stations and restaurants now, where people's not following the page. And, you know, whether it be good or whether it be bad, the message is leaking to them. And people need to understand, you know, I do a lot of these radio interviews and stuff because of the videos. But, you know, like today, you know, there's the last few videos that have been non-political, have been more, you know, in-your-face theological concepts and, you know, atheist-type stuff. So I don't always do political rants and, you know, things against Islam.
I don't think that's allowed either anymore, you know.
You mean you believe the Bible?
Yeah, can you believe that?
And you talk about it out loud?
Yeah, very much out loud. Not liking it these days.
Well, amen. I applaud you for that. And you believe the whole Bible is the truth and all that stuff, huh?
Yes, sir.
Golly.
Every bit of it. Even the parts I don't understand and can't explain, I still believe it.
Oh,
Greg, can you give out your website for folks that want to go there?
Yeah, if the Facebook videos are obviously there, Pastor Greg Locke, but if they go to Global Vision BC, like Bible Church, globalvisionbc.com, there, you know, they can learn all about the church, and they can, you know, we live stream all four of our services every week, and they can go back and probably watch 200 of the past videos, and all of our social media platforms are there. So globalvisionbc.com.
I bet we could find an app for you, couldn't we?
Yep.
For our smartphone?
We've had an app in the past, and we're reconfiguring it now, and another company's building it. So we're getting ready to launch another sermon app.
Well, that's awesome. So you got through the election, I take it, and with your 501c3 intact?
We got through it with our 501c3 intact. You know, that has been something that, like I said a minute ago, people threatened us to have taken away. But, of course, you know, Trump said he's going to repeal the Johnson Amendment and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we're careful in obviously how we do it. But people have been sold a bill of goods that preachers can't say anything when we can say a whole lot more than people give us credit for. And they don't want us saying anything because we do have a voice and we do have growing, you know, growing congregations. And people follow us, and they know that, and they're afraid of that voice. And the problem is preachers don't want to use that voice. And so,
it's not that I've found, actually, it's not that the preachers don't want to use that voice. It's just they're so in debt in their church, and their big donors have such a say in what they can and can't say, and they don't want to offend. And I think, you know, I think debt you know, has probably got as big a hand in a lot of this stuff as anything.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's, like you said, you know, you don't want your big donors to leave and stuff. But, you know, I started our church from scratch, just a handful of people in a living room 10 years ago. And so we've been able to make our own mistakes and write our own rules, as it were. And one of the things that we had, our staff, our elders, you know, we set it in concrete years ago that we will never borrow a dime. So all of our buildings are paid for. We pay cash for every, if we buy it, we got money for it. And we have no debt, so nobody's going to say, well, we're not going to tithe. Well, okay, going down the road, somebody else will. And so we just know, you know, you read the Bible, Jesus lost people, you know, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, God lost a third of the angels when Lucifer rebelled. And so I tell my preacher friends, God didn't keep all his congregation, you're sure not going to, so you're going to offend somebody. And what I find is when one family leaves because they're offended, 15 more families show up because they found us on Facebook and they appreciate somebody that will open their mouth and say something.
Hey, Greg, are you a friend of Charlie Daniels being over there in Mount Juliet?
Charlie Daniels, I know right where he's at. You see him in town every now and again, but he's a busy fella.
Yeah, he's quite a patriot. He's got a movie out and things to help wake up the American sheeple. So maybe you're in a good place to be over there in Mount Juliet.
Yeah, he is a forceful speaker. He doesn't play a game.
Mm-hmm. And also, I was just curious what your take is. I mean, what countries do you reach out to? I know your website says Global Vision Bible Church, so I'm assuming that means you're leaving the friendly confines of a holy city like Nashville and going out.
Right. Yeah, a couple of reasons it's made that. First of all, before I started the church, I was in evangelism, and I traveled the world. I preached in 46 states and 15 countries, and so I had a heart for, you know, Africa and Asia, you know, Europe, and various places where I'd been. And so I wanted to start a church where people understood missions and understood the Great Commission. And so rather than, you know, local vision, I wanted a global vision. And so little did we know when we, you know, started getting people to give and travel and things that that Facebook would explode the way that it has. And we have literally, I mean, in the last 14 to 16 months, become an absolute global vision. I mean, people are live streaming us from around the world every single Wednesday, Saturday, multiple times on Sunday, and even supporting our ministry here. So it's really been amazing to watch how that has transpired. And so we try to get our folks to be very generous. That's one of our pillars, our DNA, as we call it, extravagant generosity. And so we did a big campaign, matter of fact, last month. And we're not a mega church. You know, our building only seats 170 people, and we're running about 550 people on the weekends and we're cramming, you know, three services, 550 people in this little video building. And so we're not a mega church, but like, you know, last month we wanted to do something for this group that came to us, Bible League, and they needed to raise Bibles for a lot of villages in Africa that just did not have a copy. And so I just told our folks, let's pray and let's dig deep and let's give. And a week and a half, we raised $50,000 and sent them $50,000.
Wow.
Thousands and thousands of Bibles. And so we give a lot of money to the world, a lot of money to the community. And God honors that. Unbelievable.
Amen.
We definitely have a global vision. We want to give to the world. We're doing stuff. Matter of fact, for Christmas, we're doing local and international. We're helping an orphanage in India that needs to buy 100 bunk beds for orphans, and so we're going to buy all the bunk beds. And then on top of that, we're just doing a huge, extravagant kind of a cash giveaway to people in our community that are needy. So we do a lot of stuff like that. So it's interesting because when these haters, critics, whoever they are, when they come against us, a lot of them will actually want to sit down and meet with me. And whenever I walk out of one of those meetings, they're always like, oh, wow, this guy's not the same guy that I'm getting the vibe from on Facebook. You know, when they see that I am, you know, a husband of almost 21 years, I got four kids, you know, we have a growing congregation. Most of the people that come here are ex-addicts, and non-church people. We have a very broken congregation that God has, you know, amalgamated together into this powerhouse of a church here in our community. And so people are shocked because they think I'm just this arrogant, racist, gay-bashing bigot, you know, because they watch a little three-minute clip of me standing outside of Target getting on Fox News talking about transgender bathrooms.
Yeah, it's almost synonymous that if you're a Christian, well, that means you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're homophobic, you're everything politically incorrect there is, and then it's true. If you hear these things about people, then you go look it up on the internet, and you find a different person. You go, well, somebody's lying here. And of course, everyone's figured it out now that the lamestream media has been lying for 50 years with an agenda to pretty much turn us into a Marxist low-level nation in their globalist New World Order.
And they've done a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Are you you guys affiliated with a bigger organization?
We're not. We're just kind of an independent church. When we started 10 years ago, we weren't necessarily in anybody's group, but we were Global Vision Baptist Church. And then we, about 5 or 6 years ago, we just changed to Global Vision Bible. But we've always just been an independent congregation.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you.
Grassroots, bootstraps, and bring it on up and do it. What made you choose, well, I know the obvious answer, but why would you choose to go 501c3, might I ask?
You know, a lot of that, back in the beginning when I had kind of a core team helping us launch the church and get kind of started, I was really ignorant to it because all I knew was evangelism, you know, seven suits, seven sermons, blow in, blow up, blow out. All I knew, I want to start a church, right? And so kind of our core team, you know, they're like, hey, we need to call the Christian Law Association. And so a lot of them, they built a lot of that, the bylaws and, you know, a lot of the Constitution and kind of a backstory, if you will. And so we said, you know, we want the tax-exempt status. We didn't really understand then that at this point you could still really get a tax-exempt status, you know, from the IRS without being a full 501c3. So it'll be interesting to see as the days come how much they're going to tighten the screws. You know, I don't know if Trump is going to be able to have a handle on that or not. But I did a video a few weeks ago where I told folks, hey, listen, if it ever comes between me speaking the truth and our 501c3 status, they won't have to take it. I'll give it to them. I'll mail it to them. And I'm not interested in that. And so at this point, we don't see it to be an issue. We'll obey what laws we have to obey. But when those laws disrespect the Bible, obviously, as Peter said, we're going to stand with God, not with man.
Yeah, Acts 5.
Mm-hmm.
That says, hey, when it comes to obeying, we have to obey God rather than man. And that's where we've gotten off on this path of interpreting Romans 12 to mean that, or is it Romans 13? To mean that you capitulate to any evil thing that comes from a government source,
sure,
which of course is totally unbiblical. We're to reprove the deeds of darkness and to shine a light on corruption. And of course, that's where this nation is right now. It's had such huge lights shined on its corruption through a media that can't be controlled, and that's why, of course, they're trying to figure out how to shut it down to get their three controlled stations back and let everyone see the same story. I was actually fortunate enough, Greg, to go to Cuba in 2005 with my church, and we spent a week evangelizing through baseball, which of course is their favorite sport.
Mm-hmm.
But we did something that was against the rules. We actually went to a Cuban's home, and people don't realize how controlled it is till you watch their TV and there's a little ticker tape down there with propaganda, you know, socialism or death. You sit there and see that going across and you go, huh, this really is a communist country. You don't see it at first, and then you're in a hotel lobby and you realize there's people scooting in close to listen to you. And you open your hotel room in a very controlled hotel with a specific credit card that actually turns everything on so they know when you're there or not. But, you know, did you ever make it to Cuba in your travels?
I didn't. I was invited. It didn't work out, but I went to some of the Asian communist countries. Same way. I mean, the oppression is just absolutely unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they would allow me to go into a certain, you know, congregation to speak, the entire service could only be 1 hour long. If we did something during the week at that particular church, then they had to forego their weekend services because you could only meet 1 hour, you know, every 7 days.
Your time is up.
That's up. You're done. You know, and by the time we're done at, you know, 55 minutes, I mean, there's already police in the parking lot just begging you to go overtime. I mean, they're not messing around.
It's, yeah,
you just sense the oppression. And Americans don't understand that. We think spiritual persecution has been unfriended on Facebook. And you know, these days. It's like, oh, I'm being so spiritually persecuted. No, there are people that are dying for their faith at the hand of ISIS every single day, and we don't know what spiritual persecution is yet, but I think we will.
But I'm sure you've seen it on the flip side in the most heavily persecuted countries. That's when those services have a Holy Spirit, a Ruach, show up that's so thick that you could cut it with a knife. I mean, he's showing up where he's welcome.
The fastest growing church in the world, an underground, you know, communistic church. It's absolutely amazing because persecution always brings about revival.
Yeah, I've not felt in 11 years the Holy Spirit like I did in Cuba, and that's a function of the fact that, you know, they need it. They're not able to just get what they need on Amazon and what's this called, shopping day. The internet shopping day that we're having right now.
Oh, the Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday. Yeah, they're not getting by with Cyber Monday. They're getting by with faith that they might get a meal that day.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing thing when you look at what we think is persecution in this country compared to what's going on in the world, and
sure,
how people think that it can't happen here. You know, I think we have a possibility of a reprieve with the waking up and the outpouring that brought President-elect Trump into place. He's still not there yet, and they're not going to stop trying to stop him. And his life, of course, is in danger. And I tell you, it ain't time to.
It's not over till
it's time
over.
To start the party. It ain't time
yeah,
to start
right.
the party
You're
yet,
right.
because
but
it can happen here. Happen. You know, they're beheading Christians in all over the world in places that. And I don't know that God loves us any more than He loves them.
Well, I think they're so amazed that the voter fraud didn't work that they want to check it out and see where they went wrong. But I want to give out the website again. It's globalvisionbc.com. Isn't that correct, Greg?
It sure is.
And Pastor Greg Locke, L-O-C-K, with an E on the end, for the Facebook page. And you look like a kid on your pictures here. You must eat right or having four children and a wife and
conservative.
Seven suits and seven sermons is good, healthy lifestyle.
It must be. Well, I ride bicycles a lot. I do a lot of mountain biking.
Well, that explains it.
I'm 41 in May, so I'm not too new to the game either. So.
Yeah, Tim and I ride to the nearest store with the biggest Reuben. That's what we ride to. But and we got the stents to prove it. But anyway, we are excited about the times we live on. It's been a crazy ride so far, and we thank God that there are a few pastors like you. You're actually filling a void that I can see why you're getting people show up, because you're connected to the social media, and you know, I'm kind of tired of going to my church, traditional church, where they read one Bible verse and then talk about something else for the next 20 minutes, and it's so
sure.
It's almost like your country's with a deadline. I mean, they're so concerned about the 1 hour deadline that seems to be what everyone's concerned about. You know, we're going to fire the coach or fire the minister if he goes over 5 minutes, and that's not real church. That's not really scriptural. You know, you go till the Holy Spirit tells you to stop.
That's right. Don't interrupt that Holy Spirit, for sure.
Amen.
What do you see coming for the church and maybe America here in the near future, Greg?
You know, I know, I was saying this before we got the results of the election. You know, Donald Trump's not going to bring revival. Hillary Clinton's not going to stop it if it comes. I really do believe that people are starting to wake up to the reality that God has sovereignly moved to give us maybe what I call some little bit of a space of grace, for some extra freedom, some extra opportunities, and I think people, by and large, are going to start realizing, hey, we need to buy up these opportunities. We need to make hay while the sun shines, as Papa used to say, work while it's day, night comes and no man can work. And so I think there is a spirit of revival, a spirit of anticipation, a spirit of, you know, we don't know, it's kind of the unknown, but I really think people are getting hungry, people are tired, like you said, of just simple, basic, dry, traditional spirituality. Whereas, you know, at our church, for example, we've built our whole church. You know I do my little 3 and 4 and 5 minute Facebook rants, but we have built our church on line by line, word by word, book by book preaching, expository preaching, and our people love it. Mm-hmm. People are so hungry, and what we're finding is people will drive for hours to hear the truth of God's word. And I mean, they just, people are starving to death. Everywhere I go, tomorrow night I'll be in Kokomo, Indiana preaching, and the building will be jammed. We've had call after call after call after call. People are just hungry for truth. And I think they not only want truth, you know, and biblical boldness. You know, we don't have to be brash. We don't have to be, you know, mean-spirited, but we do need to be bold. But people are not just hungry for that. They're hungry for common sense, because there is no common sense. When I was on Fox News a couple of months ago, I told Neil Cavuto, I said, listen, sometimes I open my mouth and my grandfather walks out. I'm 40 years old, but I'm very old school in my thinking, and uber conservatism, if you will. And so people are hungry. They're just starving, and they want somebody to stand up and be a voice of reason. You know, if you look in the Bible at John the Baptist, you know, here's this guy that comes 6 months before Jesus. He's the table setter. He's not even the main guy. He's talking about the main guy that's coming. But everybody in Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria and the regions round about, everybody came to hear this guy. And it's interesting because he had the personality of a rock. You could not carry on a fluid conversation with John the Baptist. You would have considered him to be a jerk with no communication skills whatsoever. But he was a voice, and people are looking for a voice, and people will rally behind a voice, and that's what we're finding.
And you figure he didn't smell that good.
And look at the way he's dressed.
His diet didn't consist very
nice. Yeah.
People loved what he had to say because he was bold. He had one message, repent.
Yeah.
That was it.
Repent or perish.
Well, that's something that we don't hear enough of these days is the repent. And I can tell that when you describe, you know, where a lot of your congregation has come from, you can't go through that and come back without repenting.
Right.
And I think, you know, knowing where you come from gives you more of an appreciation, I guess, or of what God has done for you, what Jesus' sacrifice meant. And those people will give more. They will dig deeper. They will work harder. And not that we necessarily want more of that, because I hate that people get in that situation. But buddy, when you have someone that, you know, that has flat out been on the edge and been saved, you can't keep them quiet.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, a lot of people think I have, you know, this big spiritual heritage, and that's why I believe what I believe, and I don't. I mean, my father, he's a member of my church now, and I've watched God change his life. You know, he's 65 years old last week, but I watched him kick, you know, a lifelong addiction, you know, in the faith. He was in the Tennessee State Penitentiary for the first 9 years of my existence. And I mean,
wow.
And I had a stepfather that I hated, and, you know, so I came out of drugs. I came out of juvenile delinquency. I lived in a children's home, a Christian children's home, 40 miles from here, in fact, for 4 years. And I was sentenced there by the state, and I stayed, you know, the whole 4 years. I trusted Christ there. I was called to ministry. They groomed me to go off to seminary. I met my wife there. And so I have a less than stellar, you know, testimony as far as my upbringing. But, man, I wouldn't change it, because it has given me a heart for the broken and the marginalized, the churched and the non-churched. And that's the theme of our church. All of our shirts, our sign, it says, we're broken people, find new meaning to life. And really, you don't have to be a meth head to be broken. We've all got messed up marriages and jacked up addictions and temptations. We're all broken. And, you know, the gospel meets us where we are. And that's the main message that I have. And people are driving from everywhere to hear that message.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a little bit of dysfunctionality going on in the world today, I must say.
Well, Tim and I had two of the best sets of parents in the world, and we both say we should have turned out better. But and we were the ones that tried to create the chaos. But golly, your family looks beautiful on Facebook, your wife and children, and you know, look how the enemy's lost. You know, he probably thought he had your bloodline destroyed, the way it was going in the 70s and 80s and all that, and then look at it now, and you're going to have a heritage of a legacy of a heritage one way, and a descendants that'll be blessed for generations to come, because, you know, somehow you got reached, and now you're reaching others, as per the formula.
Well, Greg, Beverly said you had another engagement and that we could have you for a half hour. We've done that. What is your time situation?
I'll have to run out of the office here in just a few minutes. So I've been good. I'm good.
Okay.
Are you going to be in the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas that's coming up? Is that coming up?
I don't know about that one.
Okay.
Are you going to be in the Knoxville area anytime soon, Knoxville, Tennessee area?
I will be there. I was looking at my calendar. I'm going to be in Maryville. Matter of fact, I think it's in February for like a Sunday night and a Monday night, I think it is. And then I'll be in, I do a conference every year in Pigeon Forge around June. So I'll
go ahead and answer that. Yep.
Okay. Where are you going to be in Maryville?
Let me look it up here real fast while I'm...
We'd love to have you because actually the station is in Maryville and we broadcast all over the Knox County, part of Sevier and Blount, and all over the area here.
Farther out than I'm thinking. Let me look here. I know I saw it on my calendar. Where's Blountville, Tennessee? Is that close to Maryville, too? I know I got one.
Blountville, no. Blountville is actually, I think, up towards Johnson City.
John, that's in Johnson City area.
Yeah.
East of us.
Right. The Maryville may be in the fall. I don't see it here in the spring. I'll have to look and see, but I'll definitely we'll put it on the page before I get close. But,
Okay.
Well, it's nice. Have Bible, we'll travel. I'll come earlier. I don't care.
It's nice to know you're going to be in the neighborhood for sure. And anyhow, but
well, we'll let you go, Greg, and we appreciate you being here. Thank you for your faithfulness. And
help you guys again to keep this number handy, and I'll be glad to come back on the pump.
We'd love to have you. And before you go, would you leave us with a word of prayer?
I'd be glad to.
Thank you.
Father, thank you so much for this outlet by way of the radio, and also as we've talked about social media and Facebook, we thank you for new developing platforms that you give us to share the truth of your word. Thank you for these men, for their ministry. I pray you bless them and the homes they represent. All that will hear this broadcast, I pray that you touch them. May you continue to raise up men of God in this generation, young and old alike, that will speak the truth and harness it with love and with a great biblical balance, but not back down. Lord, we know that these are the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The world is falling down, and the church is compromising, capitulating their beliefs, and we need some people to stand. And so give us a burden to stand. Give us the ability to stand.
Yes.
And may we put on the full armor of God and move forward. We know the enemy hates these type of conversations, and so I pray that you would protect us, the families that we represent, the ministries that you have given us. And Lord, we love you, and we thank you we can say that. Because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Greg, thank you, and God bless you for speaking the truth boldly and unashamed.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
God bless you.
Have you back again. Thank you. There he goes, Pastor Greg Locke. You're going to get a hoot out of his Facebook vignettes that he does because I'm telling you, it's comical how right he is and just how straightforward and frank that he can speak, and it's really not hateful, but it's spun that way.
And he didn't sound all pastor like, did he, Tim? He seemed like one of us lay people. I mean, I'm afraid it's kind of like some doctors get the God complex going through med school. I think some pastors going through seminary, become sort of robotic, and that's not normal. You know, we're not supposed to be robots. For Westworld. All right. I think we're going to have another guest, Tim, today and give us another update from another angle as we always try to stay informed. Knowledge is power, and disinformation is kind of what rules our country right now.
Fake news, it's called.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Fake
news.
And I think they're calling you and me fake news. But
well, that's the fake news calling us what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but the truth will set you free, and I think it's John 14:8 that says that, although I haven't hit too many Bible verses right today. So do we have a new guest coming up?
Yes, sir.
Oh my goodness, I'd like to mention who we have today. Another surprise guest behind door number two is Gino Schmidt. We met Gino years ago as he is a Christian music promoter and minister, and he's also part of the Hands of Help ministry that reaches children in Romania, and part of the what's the legacy of the Dimitri Dudeman ministry with Michael Baldea, Dimitri's grandson. What say you, Gino? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, my brother. Doing well. Praising God every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that that Gino and his wife and a couple others did some really, really wonderful music at the Hear the Watchman conference in Knoxville back in late September, early October. How have you been doing since then, Gino?
I've been doing well, thank you. Been out traveling a bit and thanking God that he's blessing the new recording, God and God Alone, and opening up doors. So we had a great Thanksgiving, so we're very much rejoicing.
Did you get some of your soldiers home for Thanksgiving, Gino?
Not for Thanksgiving, but for Christmas.
Okay.
Logan will be coming home, and hope possibly my oldest boy, but that remains to be seen. But they're all welcome, and we're glad when they can come home.
Well, going back to the beginning, Gino, how did you get where you are? Didn't you want to be a rock star with the way the music was spinning in the 1980s or whenever you were born?
I definitely had aspirations of going more into, at the time when I wasn't a Christian, I was considering secular music played out locally in some clubs and everything. But when God got a hold of my life, that whole, what I would call deception left me, and I got a real burden in my heart to, when God spoke to me, actually through a prophecy, that he would open doors with the music and send the music around the world in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
Got that actually before I really embarked in doing Christian music. But after that word from God, many doors opened. And in 1988, I met Dimitri Dudeman. He actually had me come up on the stage where he was at Milwaukee and play while he was doing an altar call. And so from that time on, I've been working with Hand of Help, and I got to travel with him and Michael throughout Wisconsin, and all has been kind of the music end of things.
Well, and like Tim said, we heard you a few weeks back here in Knoxville at the Hear the Watchman conference, and a beautiful anointing on your music and the band.
Yeah, and we had a great time there with the worship team and my friend Jeremiah Scuya, very anointed brother. But it was a great time of worship and my lovely wife and Daniel. And so I was very thankful for that door opening.
You know? And I enjoyed meeting Casper with his big head of hair.
Yeah.
What's Casper's last name?
Casper McLeod, I believe.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he was a character and an unbelievably talented guitarist. He's right up there with mm-hmm. Phil Keaggy and Jimi Hendrix.
Yep.
And had kind of spun out of the secular world into the Christian rock world. And you know, I kind of forgot about it. I shouldn't do it, but I surf TV on occasion to make to see if it's changed and it's all Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I came across some rock groups, and that's still such a huge, powerful thing where they get 100, 200,000 people in front of a stage, and everyone knows every word, and it's a religious service. It's absolutely worship.
Well, I just spent a few weeks ago, I was with George Meyer, who's now a Christian brother, him and his wife, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
They both came out of the secular music world. Pam sang behind Bob Seger, and George wrote songs for a guy named Meatloaf. Of course, you'd have to go back to the 80s probably to find out anything about those folks. But
well, yeah, Meatloaf is not food, people. It's
no.
a It was a big rock and roller.
But George was telling me he played Wembley Stadium 5 times, but he said, Gino, this weekend, being with these Christian artists, because now he honors God in his music,
mm-hmm.
he said it by far was better than any concert hall or outdoor stadium he ever did. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, and I even noticed some of the lyrics. I was watching the lyrics, and it was like we're trapped, and we're trying to get out of something. We're trying to get set free. The lyrics were saying the situation. You know, they don't realize how they're really figuring it out. There is freedom outside of the drugs and the rock and roll and the to get to the Word of God. I mean, it just sets you free. The way, the truth, and the life will set you free.
Yeah, and I tell secular artists that, and I tell Christian artists this too, but I tell them don't ever cross over to the world, especially Christian artists. Take the cross to the world, but not cross over to the world. And they need to see us. The world's already choking on the vomit, so to speak, and you know, even though it somewhat looks glamorous for a while, I've talked to enough artists, and the whole rock and roll thing is not glamorous, and it ends up to be incredibly destructive. A lot of things go haywire because the enemy is so much behind it, but to be able to sing for the Lord and have a new life in Christ, that will make any song bring some hope to the audience when you employ the gospel and the Lord in it. And in the last year, I've connected with several people that have come out of secular music and determined to use their gift for the Lord, which I think is a great testimony
mm-hmm.
of God's power and faithfulness. And I the thought of ever going back into the world and doing their music is to me like it never even enters my mind. I've had offers.
Mm-hmm.
But I've turned them all down just to sing for the Lord. I feel it's more of a great honor to write and sing for Jesus on whatever level he allows me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you find that the other is just totally empty.
Empty, yeah.
I
empty
mean, void.
Destructive.
Just,
yep.
Just useless. That's considering the difference, it's not a hard choice, is it, Gina?
Well, you think about Katy Perry, whose mom and dad are evangelists, you know, the Hudson family. She was Katie Hudson. She did do Christian music for a few years. But now, look at, her life's destroyed. You know, she's become a role model of everything that's evil and wicked, and there's no doubt. You know, I want to be on, like Moses said, who's on the side of the Lord, you know? The right. Golden calf does not impress me. And you look at the king of rock and roll, you know, you look at Elvis Presley, he died young. You look at Michael Jackson, the king of pop, he died young. And I'm sure Katy Perry probably won't live out her days either if she keeps it up. And God, when God's in your life and God's in your heart, the song changes. And so does the outcome. Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
The outcome changes immensely. Instead of worried about a little bit of gold on earth, you get to walk the gold streets of heaven. So it's a no-brainer for me.
Well, maybe with two godly parents.
Yeah, I'm sure prayers, I bet they've got more people praying for Katie than she could imagine.
She could come to herself before
yeah.
she...
Yeah.
I don't wish it on anyone to go out of this world without God.
Yeah, she'll probably get pulled out of the fire there at the last second.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe can be a powerful witness since she does have the iconic background
yep.
there.
Come to herself before she ends herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've reached out to their family. But, you know what, it's personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
The longer you go down the bad road, the greater consequences there are. And I am sure they're praying for her, and hopefully she will realize that being on, you know, number one, you're never going to please the world. And number two, you know, that's a dead-end road. Everyone that's tried it, at least of some form of fame or stature, and mostly everyone has ended up in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot more of them don't get the opportunity to turn it around.
No, No, and I mean, you could name a laundry list of people that made that mistake. And, you know, for one thing, I want to play the music that's in heaven. You know, my songs, I believe, come from God, and I've gotten songs in my sleep even. I've woken up with the whole melody in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go out and travel, whether it's a prison or a jail or a hand-to-help meeting or a church or a prayer night, it's always neat to see God touch someone through the music where they were discouraged or depressed or feeling down, and that song of hope comes or song of joy. And it's an awesome thing. I love it. Brings a lot of joy to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God. Thank God for the God.
Gino, what's an update? What's your take on the State of the Union? You know, we just had an election.
Mm-hmm.
Tim and I are kind of glad that everything we'd ever said in our lives 10, 12 years ago wasn't front page news, because we've said a lot of bad things, and this poor president elect has been drugged through the sewers, I hear rumors that he's actually a born again believer and repented of a lot of his billionaire playboy ways.
Yeah. Well, I don't. You know, the thing about it is America was headed for absolute disaster with a Clinton presidency of any kind. I mean, you'll look at the Old Testament, Ahab and Jezebel, which kind of describes the Clintons. You know, her husband's been a tremendously evil man, and she is very wicked. You know, she's totally for partial birth abortion. She's totally for gay rights, gay marriage, even more of a level than Obama. And I believe God heard the prayers of the church and the remnant. And I believe God intervened without a doubt to give grace and reprieve to America, to give more time for repentance. And I'm, quite honestly, I'm thankful. I think Mike Pence is for sure a true Christian. And I also believe in the government now will be some true Christians. And I think it's a very good thing. Where Trump stands with the Lord, I will say this, and you can, you know, I'm glad it's hopefully being recorded. Where he stands on gay rights, to me, and the things of God, especially in those areas, to me, will dictate if he's born again or not. If he's for gay marriage of any kind, or if he's for ever declaring June, like Obama did, gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, whatever, Q, R, whatever month, then I would say he's not born again. However, from the bit that I've seen of Trump, I would say that he's definitely been around Christians that have challenged him. I have no doubt that he is praying, and I believe that over time, God in his sovereign, awesome power will show Trump the exact path of salvation. And I have heard he's prayed the salvation prayer. So my prayers, there'll be fruits of that. You know?
Amen. Well, he is kind of a baby Christian. And,
yes,
and the hope there is that he is teachable,
right,
and that he does understand. And,
right,
you know, if he just doesn't hate America, and if he just, you know, doesn't hate us and hate everything we stand for, you know, maybe things could even accidentally get better.
Well, they're going to get better with him as president, because he has put some very good leaders around him. And I will tell you straight out that Mike Pence is definitely loves God. And there is no doubt in my mind that Ben Carson and others love the Lord. And you got to see this. The odds of Trump winning just show me how much of a miracle it is. The odds were so stacked against him. And I'll tell you what, you can't pull this off without God's help. You can't.
No, and he really had a landslide. And that's one he had to have to win it.
He did. He had to have the margin to overcome the fraud and cheating that the Clintons are known for and the Democratic machine. And I think America has been given a reprieve and time to do what God's called our country to do, to repent. And I don't believe that message is stopped or that message is to be put on hold. I believe now more than ever the church has to be proactive for pro-life, be proactive for traditional marriage, be proactive for the things of God, and be determined to turn to the Lord and you know, shape up, get out of their lethargy and apathy and indifference, and really take this time to see their local communities and their, you know, their Jerusalems, you know, get on the wall as a watchman and be proactive as a Christian and open up your mouth and be a voice for truth and change. And how long the window will be, only God knows, but it's going to be a window, you know. And when the Lord sees that, depending on the church and them repenting or living right or turning towards God, I believe will determine how long that window is. But, hey, I'm rejoicing because a Clinton presidency, to me, would have been an open door to nuclear war right away with Russia. Mm-hmm. That's what Mike Boldea says. He thinks within a few months we would have been at war and a host of other problems, you know.
Well, Putin said as much.
He did.
I mean, he did. He just came out and said it because they were, mm-hmm. you know, the Obama administration and the a potential Hillary administration, mm-hmm. There wouldn't have been any change in the foreign policy.
No, and
she and he coordinated the Arab Spring and the attacks, and you know, we're fighting ourselves, and we're wanting to fight Russia. I never did understand that, but I just thank God that you know, Putin has enough respect for Trump and Trump for Putin that they're trying to keep things cool till they can at least sit down and come to terms.
Oh yeah, and I did go to Trump Tower this summer, and I dropped off a Through the Fire book and Wake Up America DVD and a
wow.
music, and I'm hoping the guy that did take it did tell me he'd get it, so there's a pretty good chance that he does have that, and hopefully our leaders in America, including the government, see that America's on borrowed time if it doesn't repent, and the message of repentance now more than ever is important, and you know, living right and walking above reproach and turning to Jesus. And I'll tell you what, people had to be praying. That's a good sign. I know that we went to a prayer event in Knoxville that Chris Tomlin put on, and man, that theater was full of people praying. I know Franklin Graham went around the country and prayed at every capital for the year. I know that people were going on fasts and prayer, and well, there's the outcome of really getting serious about praying. That's what happens. The hand of God is moved to offer some grace and reprieve, and that should be a clear example that God's a great and mighty and merciful God and not willing, you know. He doesn't want to judge America, but America has to wake up, and I will say God will never tolerate America being a gay marriage country. It never will be tolerated by God. And I don't believe he'll ever tolerate abortion on any level. And hopefully in the next 4 years, those issues will become issues that conservative people will say, hey, we've got to, you know, get back to the faith, get back to not only freedom, but get back to the values that made America won't be great without God. I'll just make it clear.
Amen.
As good as people, Trump could be the best president in the world, but the church has to do its part, and only God will make America great. That's all.
That's true.
But God is invested in politics, and he is invested in showing people how critical voting is. Christians that go, well, I don't need to vote or don't vote, are not doing their civic duty.
No, they're not honoring God either in their lives by taking a stand.
We better vote. You know, we better get to the polls, and we better, you know, now more than ever, cherish what the Lord did. I mean, I can tell you this, it was the hand of God. It had to be the hand of God.
Amen. When I think about, Gino, the blood that is on our hands in this country, not only the injustice that we've done around the world lately, this administration and others, but abortion in particular, it just grieves me to no end. And I don't see how this nation can fare and hope to escape any better than David. Because David, a man after God's own heart, had blood on his hands of the innocent. And even though God forgave him, his life wasn't very good after that. His family went to pieces, and his children tried to kill him and lost his children.
All four kids died violently.
Yeah, that's not fun. So, America, even if you do repent, we've got a lot to pay for.
We do, and the thing about it is I'm hopeful about one thing. I believe that in this window of time the Lord gave, I believe we can see change in those areas, you know. I believe God's a miracle-working God, and if the church would cry out for the lives of the innocent, if the church would stand for truth and say, I'm never going to allow a gay marriage in my church, or at West Point, like Obama, Pentagon's been forced to try to slam dunk that down chaplain's throats. And you know what? I'll tell everyone that's listening to this program, wherever you're at, stand for God. I will stand for God.
Amen.
I will not sign a gay marriage license. I will not perform a gay wedding. I will not subvert the calling of God to please men. And if enough people would do that as the church, then people would back off and say, "No, I'm not messing those folks. Got God with them, man. I'm not messing with them." You know.
Well, as if they didn't have enough trouble now, Gino. So they're having to go through homosexual divorces, and it's like, did we really need this? But give out your websites. I know one is handofhelp.com. H-A-N-D of help.
His website is handofhelp.com, and we've got the whole website has the messages of God from Dimitri and Mike Boldea, music, books, etc. And if people have questions for our ministry, they can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com.
And Michael's doing a weekly radio show. Are you able to find that through the Hand of Help website?
Yeah. Yep, right on the front page. It's Thursday night, 6 o'clock Central Time on Blog Talk Radio, and the show is called The Light of Truth Radio Broadcast.
Is that archived anywhere, Gino?
Yeah, it's archived on YouTube, and it's archived on the Blog Talk site. If you type in Light of Truth, you'll get it on YouTube or Hand of Help, and all of Mike's radio shows are archived up there.
Okay, great, great.
And for those who don't know, Dimitri Dudeman was a person who persecuted Bible smugglers in Romania, and then heard an audible voice in his ear, "Dimitri, why are you persecuting your brothers and sisters?" And he couldn't get that sound to go away. And it's led to this incredible ministry in the United States as he was thrown out of Poland. But we're near the bottom of the hour, Gino. You want to take us out with a word of prayer?
Yeah.
Thank you, Gino.
Lord, we thank you for this radio show, God. We thank you for this window of grace that you've given and reprieve. We pray, Lord, humbly before you, God, that you would use these ministries to just encourage the church and all of us to stand for what we stand for, which is the faith in Christ.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, bless this night. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gino.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. God bless you.
We'll see you soon.
And folks, see you next time on the Cox
and the Curve
Radio Show.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored.
And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow.
And it's at the website, let's see, I just had it here a second ago, childhoodshots.com, childhoodshots.com. And we've got